and welcome to the post show. Kyle, what a show that was. Kev, what a show. Thank you for having us. Thank you for coming aboard, my man. Listen, this was fantastic.
Man, Kev's lawyers really came after us over the road to greatness. He's just, it's his show, man. Now already? Yeah, that went by real quick.
I know, man.
I was afraid about the outro, because I outro everything with, thank God for watching, and as always, greatness awaits. So I was like, oh shit, if it's the same thing, like, oh man.
Uh-oh. My lawyers are really coming after you.
I will be getting letters tomorrow. Oh man.
And it's just us two. I would love to see in an overcoat. That's it. No.
I would love to see it like a cease and desist from Joe. Just, it's a big like letter, but all it just says is stop.
Listen,
that's it. Just stop in big letters. Stop.
April 1st is around the corner. Yeah. The business email is in my Twitter. Just hit me with it. I will forget about it. And you'll just see on April 1st. Oh man, that'll be a good one.
No, yeah, we do. How we play with greatness is in the beginning. So it's like, oh wait, no longer greatness. That's right. Kind of like, look at how great we are.
I like it. You know? I like that. I like it.
And then I think the outros we've worked on so many times that now I was like, keep hunting, keep playing PlayStation. That seems nice.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I like both the intro and the outro. I like it.
Thank you. It's always just me tinkering with stuff until I find something I'm very comfortable with. That said, Kyle, I said, what was it? Like, I like the shout out thing that I said prior. They shout you out before you something. Because I don't like pimp out your stuff. Because I feel like it's pimp my ride, you know?
I'm fine with that.
Excellent show.
I honestly think, Joe, that is probably why I stumbled on my promoting my Twitter stuff. Because I'm so used to the cadence of, Kyle, what do you have to pimp out? And I always started with, as always, I like to pimp out myself, Mr. K-Sup on Twitter. Yeah. And because you didn't do it this time, I stumbled. I didn't know where to go.
Okay.
I am Ron Burgundy and Anchorman. If things aren't the same... Like, even in the doc, there was some from... I forgot what it was. It might have been this the play at home copy and paste, but it just, the grammar was all over the place.
Yeah.
And it didn't, the commas were weird. I don't know.
I'm going to say this. I want people to stop writing like they're talking. As someone with dyslexia, y'all got to stop that. Because my brain is like just blowing up. The circuits are just like, it's hotwired, you know what I mean? Like, it's all types of fucked. But one of those games were like that. I think it was the space one. And I was just like, I gotta fix this up for you, girl, because this ain't working. Heavily bodies, there you go. But yeah, that said, we had a lot of questions written in, and we couldn't get to them because, again, I didn't want to keep Kev here all night long. But since you're here, Kev...
All night long.
Lionel Richie's lawyers. So, Marcus O'Neill writes in, trophy question for the trophy room here. Has a chase for a platinum trophy ever significantly changed your overall opinion of a game? I am a trophy whore. Hey, listen, it's all good. You know, you get those trophies. No matter what case, no matter what game, you do you, okay? No need to slut shame here or trophy shame here. You're friends. Anyway, as much as the next guy, but I'd be lying if I said that the repetitive nature of some trophies didn't sometimes expose a game's flaws and leave me with a worse impression of that game than I might otherwise have had. Cough, Shadow of War, and all the stupid orcs. Cough, cough. Of course, this can go the other way, too. Sometimes, obtaining certain trophies allows me to see features I would have never experienced, which greatly adds my appreciation for a game. Cough, cough, puppeteer, cough, cough. What say you? Kyle.
Yeah.
Go for it.
This might be a little blasphemous. I'll say one that really bugged me. Not really, but just like... It was a bit of a bummer, and that actually is with Spider-Man. I think doing all those repetitive crimes over and over again in the first one really bummed me out. It is, like, any of those things that are just repetitive, do the same kind of crimes in every district kind of thing, does feel very old very quick. Especially if, like, there is no real, like, new twist on it, I guess. The ones that I think helped, my Final Fantasy VII Remake hard mode playthrough, when I had to beat it on hard.
Right there, you just triggered me.
Joe, fierce. Anything I'm with telling you, man. Scale. You know the meme where, like, it's, this is your brain, like,
yeah,
like the big brain, and it's light pouring out of it?
Yes.
That was me playing it on hard mode. Okay. Just, like, knowing I couldn't use any items or potions, and you really had to maximize your materia and stuff. I loved that.
It's like, I barely got out of fights in that game alone.
Yeah,
just to do it on hard was like.
Uh-uh. And in addition to that, like the Last of Us crushing modes, which aren't tied to the platinum, but just going for those trophies made me love those games even more in that setting, which is something I thought I would never say.
Yeah,
but yeah, those are two that instantly come to my mind.
Yeah, I hate when you have to play a game all over again. The only game that I give allowance to, like, doing that is, is Bloodborne, because it's perfect. But
how many days?
What's that?
How many days?
I don't have it up in front of me right now.
What a but bad like a fan. Lot.
Next week, actually, we're recording on, I think, the 6th anniversary of Bloodborne. Mm. We're recording on that day, Kyle. And if you think I'm not going to say us celebrating the 6 years of Bloodborne as the main title, you better fucking beat that game. Kyle's like, I'm on the third boss.
I actually tried to hop in the other day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember where to go. So I'm going to have to figure it out. It's been 2,185 days.
Thank you.
So, huh, you a fake Bloodborne fan?
Damn, I'm a fake fan.
How dare you?
Damn it. But honestly, I think games that have, like, I think games that have, for me, I'm sorry, I'm taking this over. You go for it. What are trophies that get it right, or games that have gotten it right for you?
Me?
Kyle, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I already said. Kev's turn.
Okay, sorry, Kev.
Final Fantasy VII Remake and Last of Us.
Yeah. Right. Elitist, right. Kyle the Elitist again.
So, going to be a little bit of an unpopular thing here. Okay. I typically don't go for platinums, right? Multitude of reasons, right? But I typically don't go for them in, like, this season of life, mainly just because, like, I'm just so busy with, like, I have an actual job that, you know, pays the bills, and I do this during the weekday, you know, because I enjoy the hell out of this, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of just, like, content and, like, being on however many shows, whatever, and, you know, it just doesn't lend itself to having a lot of time to not only beat games, but platinum games, you know? So I just tend to just beat them and just move on. So I don't have, like, a traditional answer for this one, but I will say that Ghost of Tsushima last year, that platinum opened my eyes to how much I love that open world.
Yes.
Right? And, like, how much, like, how well they baked in traditional, like, you know, game tropes of, like, oh, having a waypoint, right? Like, even, like, something, like, simple like that, how that's baked in to the world, right? And just how fun it was to just ride around with my horse across this vast island. Like, I just fell in love with that open world through the platinum, right? That I feel that, like, if I stopped at where the game ended, the story, right? Like, I feel like I didn't appreciate it to the level that I ended up having after the platinum, you know? So I think it would be Ghost of Tsushima for sure.
Yeah, I think the game that does it, I honestly, God, I think the best is Ghost.
It's a
fun plat, and that's the one thing, like, we were talking about completed lists. I want to know the most trophies along, like, the first party games, like, who has, like, the best completion, like, plat rate.
All right, I can try to do that real quick.
Ooh, yeah, if you could try. Because honestly, like, Ghost's Platinum feels, it doesn't, like, if a trophy feels like a chore, you did something wrong. If the trophy feels like an obligation. Like, I have an obligation to go to the dance with Stacy, you know, because Stacy's paying me money. I don't know what.
Right,
but
like,
I don't want to go to the dance with Stacy, but I have an obligation because, oh, there you go. She's my friend, and I don't want her to go alone, right? That's a bad trophy to me. Stacy's an awful trophy. But what's a great trophy is something that it's yeah, I need to do this, but it's I want to do this more than anything. And Ghosts trophies really felt like that for me. I love the whole collecting things, the collectathons. Like, again, pat all these, you know, foxes on the head because they're being good foxes. Awesome. Follow all the chickadee birds.
Stop it. Stop making it a thing.
I was like, is he going to do it again?
Yeah.
Is he going to do it again?
And here I am. And like, yeah, absolutely. I love that. But like, also the map has to put those icons on the map. It cannot be a guessing game. Like the goddamn owls, I believe, in God of War. It's the reason why I don't have that game plat. It's like
The Ravens.
Yeah, those.
Owls.
Yeah.
Odin and his owls. Ooh. Obviously, we know the raven goes, chickadee. Anyway.
Oh,
but like, all the ghost ravens. Yeah, like, and that's why I don't have that game platted. But like, I'll go fight a Valkyrie and I'll punch her in her dumb face because like, that Valkyrie needs to go, you know?
But, so just really quick on some of the PlayStation games, like platinum percentages. Yeah. On PSN profiles, Ghosts of Tsushima has 62,000 platinum achievers, which is 50% of players on PSN profiles have it.
Okay.
Last of Us Part 2 has a 30.8%.
That's right.
Last of Us Remastered is only at 5.3%. Okay. Uncharted 4 at 10.7%. Spider-Man PS4 is 46%, and Miles on PS5 is 56.7%.
Now, I do have to say, a lot like when it comes to Miles and Spider-Man, you know, Spider-Man's been out more, sold more copies, and like, we'll sure. see where, yeah, we'll see where that goes. But
let's see where Bloodborne is. Let's see if my Last of Us Remastered Platinum is harder.
Honestly,
to
I think
get
the Last
Bloodborne.
Of Us. Platinum's harder than
Bloodborne. Bloodborne's at 21%. Yeah. 150,000 people have the platinum.
Yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, God, I think Uncharted, most of the Uncharted's have harder plats than Bloodborne. Like those, like crushing difficulties is like,
yeah.
unrelentingly hard.
Before we get to the next question, though,
yeah,
I forgot to mention this on the main show.
How dare you?
But now that I have somebody that freaked out during the FF7 remake intergrade trailer as hard as I did, Kevin, Yuffie, man, what?
I'm so excited.
And there was news. So I should have totally put it in the notes for the show that the Yuffie DLC has been put out there where it's only this, and now all their focus is on part two. There will be no other DLC for part one. Mm. You only play as Yuffie. You can tag team with her buddy.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I'm so excited.
Simon, oh my God, I'm like, what I can't stop thinking about is like, how are the Whispers going to interact with Yuffie? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the planet going to push Yuffie to do in this remake, given all of this? I cannot wait, dude.
Because as far as I know from the original game, she's not in this.
No.
She's not in Midgar at this time, so what's...
Yeah, no, we meet her very shortly after where we left off a remake. Like, it's right when they leave Midgar. I think they do a couple things, like, I think you get the Chocobo, I think, before you meet Yuffie.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's right after you leave Midgar, I forgot, but it's shortly after, so it definitely makes sense to have Yuffie here. And given the name... Intergrade, it's meant to be like a blending, a like halfway point, so this is definitely in all essence like the bridge to remake part two.
Yeah I
can't wait. And we got Dirge of Cerberus. I literally bought a PlayStation 2 HDMI converter, a copy of Dirge of Cerberus, and
nice.
I'm gonna play through that thing because
nice.
I need all the lore. I need all of it. So I definitely need to play Dirge of Cerberus.
That's awesome.
I can't, dude, I cannot wait.
It's gonna be good.
I love Final Fantasy VII, man. I love it. I love
Sweet.
It so much. Oh, man.
That was Joe's first Final Fantasy that he beat.
I beat it.
Mine, too.
Yeah?
No.
It was mine, too.
No, remake. Yeah.
The remake, not the original.
No, same.
Oh,
remake
nice.
Was your first
yeah,
Final
yeah.
Fantasy. Oh.
Remake was, yeah, so long story short, was never a fan growing up of like turn-based combat. Was never really a fan of it. My friend Christian's like, listen, Kev, we're going to get you into JRPGs, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to do it, all right? He had me play my first Pokemon, Pokemon Sword,
Shit.
Okay. Did that. I was like, okay, you know, I'm understanding this. Okay, you know, I'm getting it. I think I'm ready for Remake. Played Remake, fell in love with Final Fantasy VII Remake. Went back, played the original Final Fantasy VII. I imported a PSP from Japan to play. Why am I forgetting the name of it right now?
Crisis Core?
Crisis Core. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Crisis Core. I watched Advent Children. I'm in heavy. You know, I'm in the middle of 15 right now. I'm adoring Final Fantasy 15. So nice. It's been like a specific love that I haven't felt in like a very long time, but like it feels almost like a childhood wonder type of like attachment that I've grown with Final Fantasy VII. Like I love it so much. I can't wait.
That's awesome. I really enjoyed Final Fantasy VII. There are chapters that I don't like. Like I think chapter 14 sucks, but like they handled like a lot of remakes or like reimaginings. It's either they capture the magic or they don't, or like certain things that don't age well, they can't translate that into modern day well. And I feel like with the Honeybee Inn understanding, like, you know, Cloud being in a dress or whatever, and how that was going to resonate or piss off fans of like the purists that like, no, I don't care, put Cloud in that goddamn dress, or like, you know, the people that are more sensible, like, okay, how are you going to tackle that? Because times have changed and that could be offensive to some if not handled right. And like they handled it fucking perfectly. And everybody, whether you were an old time fan or whether you were a newcomer to the series or whatever have you, like, handled it so well. So like that game handles a lot of things with grace. And seeing most people like Kyle, longtime fan of the series, going, all right, I'm down for more of this. And not like, this is just a blatant cash grab. It's something that it's interesting to see as a new fan. Yeah. That said, though, Tifa can't get it.
Can't wait to play part two when I'm 55.
Yeah, right.
Cloud, let's be honest, y'all. Cloud is a snack. Okay? Like, there are things that we need to state as fact. So, yeah. I'm excited to see what they announce at the Square thing as of recording. Like, will that be on Xbox Game Pass as well? Who knows? You know? But I think
when it comes to the Square Enix show we're live reacting to tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think what they said is going to be there is what's going to be there. I don't think there'll be any surprises.
I think Western Square Enix.
Yeah. I think for the next one, because it sounds like this is going to be like a running digital kind of showcase thing. Mm-hmm. Then we'll get the things that I really want, like the Star Ocean 2 remaster finally coming out here, and the Final Fantasy 16 like deep dive and stuff like that. Like, exciting times. Exciting times.
That said, Metal Kirby writes in, with Square, with Crystal Dynamics now actively hiring for a new AAA game, what could they do to make up the loss that was the Avengers? Personally, give me a solid single player game and I'll be happy. Can I be honest with y'all?
Mm-hmm. Yep, please.
I think this new AAA game is Avengers 2. We're fixing it all.
You think so?
Oh, you're thinking a double down?
Do you think Marvel would give them the property again?
Yeah.
I think they have to. Like, you think about it, they're like, you gotta fix this type of attitude. Or do you guys think they're just going to literally Thanos snap it? They're going to give this IP to someone else? Giving this to Square and giving this to Crystal, I think that was a mistake to begin with. But, you know, and again, hindsight 2020 here. But, like, I think if you're Marvel, you can't just hand it off to someone else. I don't know.
No, I don't think you can. Yeah, I don't think you can hand it off to anybody else either. But I also don't think, like, Crystal and Square have the only rights to Avengers.
Okay.
I mean, actually, no, that's most likely they do, because that'd be weird.
Because it's Marvel's The Avengers.
Yeah, man.
again, and it's hard to get, and then you're going to have that SEO battle, like, which Avengers is it?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm really thinking it's like Avengers Age of Ultron 2. You
know what I mean? I would love, like, a more focused AAA, like Kevin said, give me the single player AAA yes. experience that I think would have really lent itself well to the Avengers. I would love that. Mm-hmm. I would also love a brand new IP in the vein of the Tomb Raider reboots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. what I want. It doesn't have to be a Lara Croft's game or Tomb Raider game. Just give me an open world, Uncharted-esque kind of game. Or just maybe not even Treasure Hunters. Just yeah. give me an open world like that. And I'd be 100% in.
Kev, what say you? What is this game?
Yeah, I think what I would want is another single player game, right? Obviously. Now that you broke it down, kind of, I guess I could see them doing a sequel to Avengers. I don't know. I just don't know how that would sit, man. Like, I feel like it would feel like kind of like a Destiny 2, where it was like the only real reason that we got a Destiny 2 is because Activision was involved, right? And they sure. just wanted a sequel. I don't think that Bungie would have done a Destiny 2 if it was up to them, you know? So that's why, like, I think it'd be kind of weird if they put out another Avengers, but I guess I could see it. I think I'd really want, because I've heard really good things about the Tomb Raider reboot. I have all three. I'm just waiting for a day where I'm really itching for, like, an Uncharted-esque type of game, you know, with Lara Croft and all that great stuff. So I'm still waiting to see them firsthand, but I do know they are really good games overall from what people have said. Yeah.
Just interrupt for a quick second. I'm looking up what Crystal Dynamics has made over the years.
Yeah.
And there is a series.
Uh-oh.
That if they brought back.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I know what it is. Go for it.
Uh-huh.
If this new AAA game is a Legacy of Kain game, a reboot, that'd be fucking rad.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I like.
Well, were you thinking I was going to say Gex? The Gecko?
I thought.
Bring Gex back. You take. Don't yes, bring Gex back,
which is also Crystal Dynamics.
Did they do Deus Ex, or am I wrong?
Deus Ex was.
They did not do Deus Ex.
It wasn't them.
Montreal, or, yeah.
Ido. Okay, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, Ido's Interactive published like Legacy of Kain and Gex and stuff, but Crystal Dynamics developed it.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously, to me, like if it's a Marvel's Avengers 2 whatever sequel, fix whatever needs to be fixed. Like, give it so that, like, Hulk, you are putting armor on him, and it's not, like, ribs or stupid shit like that. Like, make the cosmetics matter. Cosmetics matter. Then I really do think, and, like, have transmog sets be the thing that people buy with money. I do think that that is a way to go, and I think the way they need to go. Or you create your own superhero, like DC Online, you know? Give me Spider-Man powers mixed with Captain America shield throwing. I don't know.
That goes to our conversation before we started. What superpower would we want?
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Tying that all back.
And
yeah.
Teleportation is a hell of a blessing and a curse. Kyle, my eyes aren't good. Would you mind
reading the last one?
The last one's a biggie, and knowing my dumb mouth, I'm just going to screw it all up.
All right. Idiot. Jose, ask what, not why. His second question. We are still in a Panic at the Disco, a.k.a. pandemic. Do you think we as gamers are becoming unsustainable as consumers who want all these companies to just give without giving them the time to make great things? Not it runs, so let's get it out and patch it someday things, but potentially great. Video games take years to make, even pre-Pantene Pro-V times, and our consumer taste palette change constantly, so I almost feel like game companies are being set up to fail without being given a proper chance. We want new, but the same, bigger, but not too big, more immersive, but not too real games, and these things take so much to even materialize a pre-concept for that we end up getting the same things churned out and complained either way. Don't even get me started on how we want all the big contenders, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, to do the exact same. If Microsoft has this service, why doesn't Sony? How does Nintendo get away with selling the same game year after year after year for the same full price? Because that is just how they all are. Let each do their own thing. That's the whole reason we have different consoles. Loves, I apologize. I don't even know where all this is coming from today. Maybe it's because we have officially been in a panorama for an entire year that I'm just overhearing people complain and compare things to death that I'm over it. LOL.
I love OT.
Beautiful Raiden.
So
beautiful,
yeah. Raiden. I love the pre-Pantene Pro-V times. That's great.
I love the panorama. Oh, that one fucking kills me. So
my dad says we're in a plátano. that's what he says. That's what he uses.
So, oh man, for us, we just call it the Rona in this household.
I feel that.
Yeah, we haven't gone crazy with the word. We've just gone crazy like towards each other. We're just like all sick of our own little. Like tweaks, yeah. Or whatever we got. Also, I do tweaks. The okay sign a lot for things.
Are you tweaking out that. Over at the Moran household?
Yeah, we're tweakers.
Okay.
So, there's a lot here, and I want to break this down. So, like, yeah, a lot of these companies, like, set up games to fail, it seems like. Like, great example, we just talked about Avengers. You know, having games set out to fail, like, being in this broken-ish state, or it works, so put it out state, to me speaks more to what we allow as consumers. We've told them that, like, yeah, feign outrage is feign outrage, but we'll still eat it up, give you the chance, give us your, you know, give you our money. And that's why we don't see games like that change. And that's exactly why I like PlayStation so much. Because many of the times their games come out and the fucking game not just works, but it's holy shit. Like, nothing's on fire. This is running smoothly for the most part. You know, like, take a look at Ghost. Take a look at, you know, Miles had a few hiccups here or there. But, like, take a look at, like, Last of Us. You know, things worked in a work-at-home state and they come out and they're fantastic, you know? But... Mm. Kev, what say you about this? The first part of, like, yeah, just giving... Are we giving them a pass? Like, what is right. The thing that's broken here?
Yeah, I think it's uniquely difficult in terms of, like, when you look at a product that the consumer base, like, is not happy with or whatever, and, like, we still buy it, right? Like, yeah. I think the one... example that is clear as day is like 2K, right? Everyone that plays 2K does not like 2K. They just they buy the basketball game because, like, it's, you know, like, it's like, yeah, it's a very similar thing where I feel more close to home, like Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
Most COD fans have very big issues about COD. We still buy it every year, right? So I think it's really hard to have a medium where, like, if you're on Twitter, if you're listening to this, you know, show on Patreon, post show, right? You're passionate about games, right? Yeah. And you love games, right? Yeah. So it's really hard to vote with your wallet on something that you just intrinsically just love the gameplay of, or love this specific aspect of, but have problems with, like, a bunch of other things involving that game, right? Like, it's really hard to vote with your wallet. So, yeah, like, it's a difficult thing of, like, we, I think, as a fan base are really gonna, you know, have to learn at some point that these companies do not speak words per se. They speak in dollar amounts, you yep. know? So when we hit them with the wallet, that's when things change, yep. you know? I worry about CD Projekt Red, right? Where they sold, like, 13 million copies, like, before the game came out. Right. So how are they supposed to know and, like, learn a lesson
right.
off of Cyberpunk without that financial hit? Because they didn't get one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's
the investors were like, tough. This could have sold yeah. more. Like, and that's, yeah, that is a big, I think one thing that you said is, like, this industry runs on fear of missing out, right? Like, oh, we yeah. want to be a part of the conversation because somehow we love the discourse when most of the discourse becomes just so toxic. But, you know, that's the real fear. Kyle, what do you think about this? Like, is it companies putting these developers out to pasture in terms of, like, here it is, you know, birth by fire type of thing? Or is it really our fault as consumers for just letting it slide constantly?
I 100% think it is definitely on us as a gaming community, because by our actions tells these head chairmen or chair people to put out these games early and fast, because obviously we're going to buy it regardless. And I think that's unfair to the developers. Like Jose said, like, we want them to make something new and big and awesome, but we're also like, with every delay of a game, we're always hit on Twitter with like, oh, this game's going to be awful now.
And
how dare you release delay it 6 months to make it better?
Like, and honestly, you hit at my heart, Nat, right now, because I saw the Dying Light thing. I was going to put it in the show, but it was just like, it was just them reading a minute's worth of people cursing at them.
Yeah.
And wow. It's like, yeah, it's really like, wow. I feel, it's like, to me, it's like, I really, we know it's a mixture of all things, right? Publishers putting developers out, just birth by fire, like, to put the thing out. It needs to hit by this quarter. And then us being mad at the developer when the game doesn't hit right, or the game, you know, doesn't work right, when it's really them trying to put band-aids on situations or you know, systems, because they have to hit that deadline. So, like,
yeah,
you know, to see developers get the shit from corporate and then get the shit from the toxic consumer base, that really hurts a dev's soul. You must think. It hurts us. Look, we got one douchebag that said something about Kyle not being a Mass Effect fan. We throw feces at that man's way, you know? So, like, for me, it's really, you know, it really is something I feel so bad for the developers on. And
I also know that I am 100% complicit in it, and I think that's something that I think I need to work on. The last example I can think of is with Cyberpunk, where I wasn't, like, super diehard. First of all, I'd never yell at developers because of their games.
Whatever. I was going to say, I can never imagine Kyle like me when I was 16.
Oh, listen, my tweet today at the New York State Unemployment Office was as hate-filled as I get. And I was so holding back punches.
Yeah.
But, like, with the Cyberpunk thing, on our show, I'd be like, all right, they can't delay it again. Right. Enough is enough.
Right.
They've had plenty of time. Let's play it. And then in reality, they release it. They're being forced to push it out, and it clearly needed more time for current consoles at that point.
And that's the thing. They show it off to get you hyped, to build a marketing campaign for it to come out, for it to be half broken, and then for you to complain, and then the vicious cycle continues.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. It's definitely a broken thing.
Also, but if that's the meanest you get, because
I can get meaner.
Yeah, because that subtweet was
I'm
like,
still technically,
I know there's other people out here, not just myself. I'm like, no. You're supposed to make this about you, Kyrie.
I, as long as I'm still in the education field.
Okay.
That's as angry as I will be.
I gotcha.
I try not to curse on Twitter just in case the school district's like, oh man, Mr. S is using the F word a lot on social media. That's not great.
Now, my other thing for you, Kyle, is. Mm-hmm. And I think this goes with the platform wars. Why does Microsoft have to do X because Sony's doing Y, right? Like,
I hate it.
Why does Sony need
a Game Pass competitor?
Why does what I said in the show here, which I like how we all kind of debunked, was, hey, is Sony doing the Jade Raymond thing just because of Xbox? And it's like, no. It's not. It's not real. Like, not every action is a reaction to the other. Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
But most of the times it isn't. Like, the most blatant you could ever say was, like, this is how you trade in your games. Or, like, you know, this is how the Xbox sits, you know, horizontally or whatever. Like, those are shots at each other. The most direct you're ever going to get. But, like, no. Sony sees what Xbox is doing, but they don't. They care enough to say, oh, yeah, we'd like that eventually.
Yeah, to me, I don't want everything to be the same, because I view video games kind of like sports in a way, where I'm a fan of a certain team.
Yeah.
I don't want all the teams. I don't want to be a fan. Okay, I want to be a fan of video games as a whole. It's like being a fan of baseball and then being a fan of baseball and of a specific team.
Gotcha.
Like you like a certain team because of the players on it, because of their colors, because of the stadium, the fan base, whatever. There are specific things underneath an overarching thing that makes you a fan of that, makes it unique. Gotcha. I think if Xbox, Nintendo, and PlayStation are all the same team with all the same players, it loses a little bit of its luster and special factor. Yeah. Like, that's why I hated last year when everyone and their mother had a streaming service. Everyone's streaming games. Why? Right. I just do one and make it different and make that a thing there. And it's segmenting us too much. And they're all doing like the same thing, which is why I also hate streaming services. Right. Just because they'll pluck shows and pick them over there and they're all vying for your attention. Just, yeah. I like it being different enough and have unique experiences on whatever system you're on instead of it just being similar. Like, if Halo was on everything, that'd be kind of a bummer. I want Halo, I want Uncharted. Dude, that'd
be really cool.
I mean, would it be cool to control with my DualSense? Yes. Absolutely, but like,
play Halo on the best controller.
There is no drive for me to play on the other system and enjoy that ecosystem.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, I mean, well, Kev, you go for it. What do you like, think about this us versus them, PlayStation v. Microsoft?
I have like similar thoughts, but like ultimately, like I think what it comes down to is a specific like culture that is cultivated around what it means when you see that new PlayStation intro, right? Yeah. Like what that is going to symbolize. Wait, I said symbolize in the future, you know, and like what it already means today. There's a specific meaning to that. Like, when you see that, you know what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? The same way when you see that red Nintendo logo, right? Mm-hmm. You know what you are going to get. And I think that, like, you know, I just see that as, like, one of the benefits of exclusivity. Like, I kind of get the reasoning why some people, like, would not like exclusivity. And, like, I get it. But I think we move into an era of the industry where we lose we just lose individual culture that companies are, you know, working hard to cultivate, right? Mm-hmm. Like the PlayStation First Party Studio, like it meant something when Insomniac was acquired and entered this, like obviously they have a long-standing history with them and like, you know, clearly it's more than deserving of them to entering that family, but to finally be a part of the PlayStation family, like that, like we knew that, like that meant something. Like that is the further, like pushing of what PlayStation is creating from a cultural standpoint, right? And that's why, like, I'm pro. Like, hey, you know, a Mario game dropping on a Nintendo system means something. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Halo Infinite, if that is great for the Xbox fan base, that means something to them and that's for them. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get God of War Ragnarok, that's going to be an event.
Yeah.
The same way that Last of Us Part 2 is an event when it drops.
And that's the one thing you say, it's the one reason why I love our community so much is like a lot of people, when we got this news of like Bethesda going to Xbox, we're just like, cool, they needed exclusives. It was like, I never liked Bethesda games anyway. They all suck. And like, they're all broken. Damn. It's like, we're just like, yeah, this made sense. Yeah. And we all like, wiped our hands of it. And like, and you could be like me where you just go like, yeah, Bethesda games aren't my jam. But then at the same exact time go, but I understand this is huge. Like, this is and needed and probably not done. And like, you know, for when it comes to PlayStation, it's like, we don't need to make those big, giant moves because, like, we already got this foundation to this house and it's pretty sturdy. And so, like, it's fine where we are right now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. As the kids say. And it's good to see Microsoft making these big money moves because then PlayStation will do some crazier things as well. Like, they do push each other. But for them to be mirroring each other is fucking boring. Like, I don't want PlayStation to have the same portfolio of games as Xbox. I want them to be weird. I want them to be doing different things, like taking a look at Returnal. That game that game shouldn't exist. It would not exist as a Ubisoft portfolio, as, you know, even a Bethesda portfolio, or you know, Activision, EA. There you go. Those are the ones I really want to say. Like, that game wouldn't live there because it's too weird. Like, a AAA roguelike game? Are you kidding me?
Completely different from what Housemarque has done before.
Yeah.
And at the same exact time, Housemarque carries that name in the culture that surrounds PlayStation. So we're like, cool. We know this. They're a part of the family to us. So like,
yeah,
that's what makes gaming awesome, is because it's different to so many other people. Like, there's a game I'm looking at right now where you're literally a rooster fighting off little aliens. I don't know what the fuck this is.
But like, that game
exists. I don't know. I'm blaming Nindy Nation right now. But like, this game exists. Oh, it's Rooster Rampage is a game. I swear to God. And like, that's a game for someone, you know? Not in a negative term, but like, that's a game that like people are like, I want to make that because it's stupid and funny. And someone's going to buy it going, I love this. This is stupid and funny. This is what I need.
Speaking of which, there's this really cool indie on the same lines. It's called... Roomba First Blood, and you are a Roomba vacuum. That's and dope. You have to kill everyone in that tries to break into your house, but then you also need to clean up the blood and vacuum it up before the humans come home.
That is cool.
It's a pretty cool one. Yeah,
that's cool,
and that's fucking awesome. So yeah, I mean, keep it different. Keep it unique, you know? Not everybody needs to do their own thing, and buying up the whole market doesn't mean anything unless you got the games to prove it, you know? That's
definitely
it. Yeah. What's that, Kev?
I'm going to do two quick shout-outs. On Bethesda, I'm a big Doom and Wolfenstein fan, so I'll be sad to not play those, you know? But it is what it is. It's all right.
I'll buy a Series S.
Number two, I don't necessarily like, you know, think that Sony needs to make any like big acquisitions. Although Bluepoint, Housemarque, makes sense down the line at some point.
Yeah,
makes sense. Let's just bring them in, especially Bluepoint. I think Bluepoint they've done their work and then some. I think it's time to bring them in. That's it.
And that's the one thing too, is like, I love how Sony talks to developers and has that companionship. What is it? Word I want, whatever.
Fostering.
They're great at fostering relationships between second party studios and eventually bringing them to the table. And like, we're all rooting for Housemarque to become a PlayStation studio, same with, you know, Bluepoint. And like, that's what we want to see, I think, as gamers, of like acquisitions that make sense, not because they need to be Xbox, because that's never gonna happen, right? So like, it's making acquisitions that make sense, that make the fan base happy. And I think that's really what at the end of the day needs to be done, is making sure that you have an ecosystem that people are enjoying, and whatever that case may be, whether that Game Pass is the answer, whether that is PlayStation's the answer for you, is what it is. That said, that has been the Trophy Room After Show. We wipe our hands of it. I hope you all enjoyed it. That said, again, we got that Square Enix showcase. But probably by the time this is out, it's already out. So go check out our reactions on YouTube and our breakdown of it. Go check out Kevin, all his awesome work. Again, link to all that down below, just like in the main show. So with all that said, with all that out of the way, we don't have an outro yet for the show. But when we find it's going to be amazing. Everybody, keep hunting, keep playing PlayStation. See y'all.